¿Tienes ahora?
May it please the court, Molly Odom for Mr. Jada Favela. Mr. Jada Favela was charged with attempted illegal reentry and making a false material statement to Border Patrol officers at the International Bridge at Laredo. The government charged that he knew one of the two following statements was false. One, he told an agent he was coming from Laredo, Texas, and two, he told another agent that he was coming from Nuevo Laredo. The government's theory was that because he, in fact, came from Nuevo Laredo, that the second statement was not a false statement. So the government had to prove that Mr. Jada Favela stated that he was coming from Laredo, Texas, knew that was false, and the statement was material. However, there was no evidence at trial that Mr. Jada Favela said he was coming from Laredo, Texas, as charged in the indictment. What he actually told the agents was that he was coming from the north.
Now that's, I think that to me is extremely important. Was there any, and I guess I'm talking to the assistant U.S. attorney over there more than I am to you, but was there any evidence that the words el norte, the north, meant northern Mexico? Because it seems to me that that is very, very prevalent. I don't know if it's in the record, though. That's to me the important thing. But the North in Spanish, especially in northern Mexico, has always meant that portion of Mexico. And if he was coming from the South, but said that he was coming from the north of Mexico, he may not have been lying. If that makes any sense.
The defense counsel did, in its objection, say that he could have meant he was coming from northern Mexico. And he said it in his written objections, and he said it in his written request for an acquittal. And also, Your Honor, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, it seems to me that there was, as I understand the briefs on both sides, there was no follow-up question.
There was not.
And the other aspect of this is kind of problematic, is that Judge Kazin, I think, heard the case.
Yes, that's correct.
And he instructed the jury that coming from the north had to mean from Laredo.
That's correct.
And then the question is, does the instructions parallel the evidence in this particular case, or the possibilities that the evidence could support?
That's correct. And I'd like to address both of that. With regards to your question about could it mean El Norte, the northern Mexico, the prosecutor's response and the district court's response was that it's not ambiguous, it's synonymous with Laredo. However, it is ambiguous, and that is reflected, and I think it's consistent with what you're saying, Judge Garza, in the jury panel's question. You have a panel of 12 people that live in Laredo or the immediate surrounding area that are intimately familiar with the geographical area. They're familiar with crossing the bridge. And they send out a jury note and say, how do you interpret north?
And that to me is really, that's another element that just came up in my mind when I was reading the briefs. It is clear that the officers would probably presume that north meant the United States.
Correct.
It is not totally clear in my mind that the same presumption should be imposed on someone coming in from Mexico that uses the words El Norte. That to me is, and when I saw that question from the jury,
yes,
the first thing that came to my mind is that's exactly what they're asking.
Right.
And I presume that Favela is, excuse me, Jara Favela, was, did not testify?
He did not testify. He was answering questions of the agents in Spanish. That is a part of the record, yes. And the other point I wanted to make was with regards to the district court's instructions. Keeping in mind that he provided instructions twice in this case with regards to that. The first time he does it is when he is giving them the jury instruction on a material statement. And he says, with regards to the false statement count, the district court instructed the jury that it is a crime to make a material false statement to a government official, and stated that the statement must be material to the officer's jurisdiction, and that Mr. Jara Favela made a false statement because he stated one officer was coming from Laredo, Texas, which would necessarily be north. So these are part of his instructions with regards to how to determine whether or not it's a material false statement.
But he was only describing the charge. The court was only describing what the government was charging, not what the district judge thought or what the facts really were.
Right, but what the government charged was that he came from Laredo. And so what he adds to it is he says that would necessarily be north, which was what the testimony was. That's not what the charge was. See the difference between the two? So he says that when you say you're coming from Laredo, that's necessarily north, because there was no evidence that he said he came from Laredo. And when the jury comes out with their note and asks, how do you interpret north, he starts by telling them it's a geographical fact that when you're standing on the bridge, north is Laredo and south is Nuevo Laredo.
See, he's horribly logical.
I'm sorry?
I said he's horribly logical. But may not be correct. That's my question.
Right. And there's, well, I think that there's a problem with the logic, but I also think because it's after he makes this statement that then he goes into comments on the evidence. And so I wanted to point out that distinction of what he first says is it's a geographical fact. And then he goes to, now as to the evidence, which is something for you to decide. So he has set it as a truth. And it's an element. This is something, how do you interpret north is an element for the jury to decide, because what they are having to decide is whether or not it's a false statement and whether or not he's using that as statement to attempt to enter the country. With both Border Patrol agents, he approached both and said, first, I have a question with regards to my legal permanent residency, and that is not illegal to come up there and question.
You know, Ms. Odom, this case, without those instructions, had it gone the same way, if they found him guilty, you'd be out of pocket.
That's correct. You're correct. The instructions by the court are key to what's problematic in this case, which is why I briefed both that it's a constructive amendment, which looks to how it was charged and what the evidence was, and the jurors and the district court's instructions to the jury, and also the directed verdict problem of him defining an element. It is something that the jury had to decide how to interpret that. And that's what makes it not a variance. It makes it a constructive amendment or a directed verdict. And
I don't know about it. I don't know if he changed the indictment. I think it's the directed verdict argument that is closer to the truth than here.
And it really becomes clear in United States versus Johnson, where the court is looking at the principle that the judge must submit every essential element to the jury, and the jury has to decide that fact dependent upon the probative value of the evidence.
Now let's probe a little bit more. This guy was a frequent flyer. Let's just say he said this intentionally. Meaning he would cause the impression that he came in from Laredo, which is good for him, but then has his fallback position, says, well, I really didn't mean that. I meant Northern Laredo. Because this guy's been around.
He's an older gentleman, yes. Who's lived on the border for 35 years. Yes.
And then why not the jury just decide on that?
Because the problem is, as you pointed out, the judge's instructions to the jury. And what it does in this case is, as in Johnson, this en banc court pointed out, said even if the evidence seems clear, your response that, well, isn't that true when you're standing on the bridge, north is Laredo and south is Nuevo Laredo? And I'm going to quote here. It says, because it's an element, it is a jury question whether the prosecution has proved that a pistol introduced is a firearm, or that an automobile identified by a witness is a motor vehicle, even though few would seriously debate that to the contrary. That was for the jury to interpret, not for the judge to say north necessarily means Laredo when he is giving him an instruction on the false material statement.
Well, counsel, I know this exchange you've been having with Judge Garza, and you certainly are making an excellent effort at explaining this. It does seem to me that a fair reading of what the judge said is first as a matter of geography. He's not saying when he said this he was referring to geography, but he started from not a premise, not a contested fact. It could be contested whether a particular weapon is a firearm or not, whether it's functioning or not, whatever the definition is. But just as a matter of universal truth, United States is north of Mexico at that location. Maybe at some stages it's slightly to the east or west, depending on the curves in the Rio Grande. And so you're stating that as a universal truth. Are you saying that, and then he moves on, I mean, I will say this is not the clearest explanation, sort of like some of my questions from the bench, it's hard to follow at times, but I think he got it all there. And he says, all right, ladies and gentlemen, Laredo's to the north and Laredo's to the south. And then he says, you have to figure out what this fella meant when he referred to north, which implicitly means was he referring to the land that's to the north and, or the land to the south, in distinction to the land of the south. And he says, if you think north is ambiguous, meaning it's not necessarily referring to, I mean, you know this case better than I, why yes. Isn't that legitimate? He wasn't directing a verdict when he said the United States is north of Mexico.
Because he has, first of all, told them as a truth that north means Laredo.
No, he said that United States, he says that north, and the way I'm going to use it right now, means a direction. But it's up to you to decide what this guy meant when he used the word north. I mean,
right.
You got to make the argument you're making, but it just doesn't seem like it holds up.
Right. And that's, it's again, we're going back to what Judge Garza mentioned. Really looking at what the judge said and does it take this case over and make it an unfair case? And I think it does, and I'm going to go back to Johnson, because his remarks conveyed an impression that it was an established truth. And that's the problem here. In Johnson, it cites, and I don't know if I'm pronouncing this correctly, Quercia versus United States, the Supreme Court case, Quercia. It's just a couple of sentences, so I'm going to quote it. Nor do we think the error was cured by the statement of the trial judge that his opinion of evidence was not binding on the jury, and that if they did not agree with it, they should find the guilty not guilty. He made an assertion of a fact, and he didn't withdraw it. His characterization of the man and the testimony of the accused was a sort most likely to remain firmly lodged in their memory. And I think it's particularly problematic when the jury has asked the question, how do you interpret North? And he didn't say, go back and determine it based on the evidence. That's what I think it carries over. It infects the process. You have United States versus Lambert, which is the case that the district court and the prosecutor used in response to the written motion for acquittal. And in that case, they found a fatal variance based on the Sixth Amendment, and it's also a false statement case. What they don't point out is that they found the fatal variance. And what they point out is how it infects the process when you alter what was actually stated in the indictment and what's proved at the jury. What they found was, in that case, that they looked to show the harm, they looked to the judge's comments outside of the jury on the evidence that he made at the time of the defendant's motion for acquittal, and found that it infected the thought process when he had recharacterized what was actually said in the indictment and the evidence that was there. And that's what happened here. You had the judge making these same type of comments before the jury. And that's why I say that his comments don't cure it, Your Honor. At this point, if there's no further questions, I've got time for rebuttal.
Yes, you've saved time for rebuttal. Thank you, Ms. Odom. Ms. Wilson?
May it please the court. This case isn't about the elasticity of words or the judge wearing two hats. Instead, what we have here is a very seasoned judge who gave solid instructions to guide the jury in its decision making. It's far.
Okay. Thank you. I want to get to it right quick.
Okay.
Because it seems to me this is the crux. This is what he instructed the jury. The defendant made a false statement because he stated to one officer that he was coming from Laredo, Texas, which would be necessarily from the north.
I agree.
Now, the question is, did that infect his whole instructions, given the status of the evidence that he said he came from the north, never said he came from Laredo, but he said he came from northern Laredo, Mexico, okay? And there is that ambiguity. That's the problem in this particular case. Now, I will grant you what Judge Suffolk said, but just before, you know, when they asked the question, but just before then, he makes that statement about official notice as a matter of simple geography, part of it. Okay, so this is to me a little bit perplexing, and this, I don't tell you why, because you either have a person that doesn't know the implication of his words, or a person who absolutely knows the implication of his words as a factual matter. That's one thing. And then you have this instruction, necessarily from the north. That's my concern.
I have 3 points. First, as Judge Smith pointed out, those instructions, particularly the ones, I think it's on page 607 through 608, which are sort of the heart of the defendant's complaint, is where Judge Kazem was explaining the government's allegations. Now, you're right, Judge Garza, he did add the necessarily north. However, I think the instructions, and as this court agrees, have to be viewed in their proper context, the whole of the record. And what we have to look at, and it's what's very important here, is count one. And Mr. Farah Favela was found guilty on that count. And that count, of course, was the attempted illegal reentry. And the reason that's important is that is not tethered to count three. We look at that count alone. And here's why that count is particularly important. As there was testimony about the orange slip, and as Judge Kazin recognized, this was a very clever case. We don't have somebody who's just trying to sneak into the United States in the standard way, whether it's in a car or just trying to crash through the border or whatnot. What we have is someone who knew about the orange slip and wanted his stamped. Now, he subsequently admits he's coming from the south, so that's undisputed, it's Mexico. At one point he says Nuevo Laredo, another point he says Mexico. But what we know is he's trying to get a stamped orange slip from Agent Escobedo, who was working soft secondary. And as you may recall, that's the part where they go and they can get forms and whatnot. But he specifically asked for a stamped form. And if he had gotten that, what he would have gotten is a pass to the United States. So that was fairly sophisticated. And as Judge Kazin pointed out, it was pretty clever. As you said, Judge Garza, this man's been around the block. So the jury obviously saw through this because they convicted him on this. And while the attempted illegal reentry it doesn't rise and fall only on the orange car, because we have the statements to the agents and the statement to Agent Guerra about wanting to go to Laredo, we know that he was trying to get that stamped. And the reason he thought that he might be able to is saying he was from the north, because then he could go back north, meaning to Laredo. Now, yes, the indictment doesn't say north. It says Laredo.
Laredo.
And that gets into Judge Southwick's point about the geographic fact and whatnot. But the third point that I want to hit on pretty hard is that, be that as it, given the fact that it's charged Laredo and Nuevo Laredo, and there's nothing in the record about Laredo. There is something about Nuevo Laredo, but not to the agent that's mentioned in the indictment. We admit all that. But the point is, at the end of the day, Judge Kazin repeatedly instructed the jury that they were the fact finders. They were in control. He also told them that it was up to them whether the statement north was ambiguous. So assuming we had one juror back in the jury room, or we had 12 jurors back in the jury room who wanted this note to go out about the El Norte point that you're making, they get to decide. They get to decide whether that was an ambiguous statement or whether they agreed with the geographical fact point. In other words, that he was just, he was trying to get to go to Laredo.
Now, Ms. Wilson, I understand what you're saying. But when he responded to the jury, he says, we can all take official notice as a matter of simple geography that the river, a few blocks from here, separates the United States of America from the United States of Mexico, and that the bridge, that what the bridge does, it crosses the United States of America into the United States of Mexico and vice versa. And I think we can accept as a geographical fact that you, that if you're in that those offices there, all those posts where the people are in Mexico, that either the Mexicans or the United States, and if they turn around and look north, they're looking at, into the United States, and if they turn south and look, they're looking into this United States of Mexico, and particularly Nuevo Laredo. And it's a close case. Then the question is, theoretically, why hasn't this crossed the line, these instructions over and over again, where the judge has indicated that north can only mean Laredo, Texas?
Well, I think if you look back in the present,
I mean, I do agree that someplace in here he definitely says, hey, listen, he almost caught himself, it seems to me, in his speech to the jury, where he says, you got to decide whether it's north or south. I mean, that's in there also. But when you have this mixed bag, what do you do?
Well, I think
as a court, as an appeals court.
Well, I think this case is very different from this court's precedents where you found directed verdicts or constructive amendments. In those cases, in the directed verdict cases, for example, the judges were very heavy-handed. Oftentimes, there were no curative instructions, or they more or less said, you've got to think this way. And that wasn't the case. And with all due respect, Judge Garza, I don't think that we can isolate certain phrases. What we have to do is follow this court's precedent and look at the charge as a whole.
It seems to me it's not an isolated phrase. When you instruct the jury that it necessarily means Laredo.
Exactly.
And that's in the written instructions, as I understand it.
But at the end of the day, the jury still has to answer, did he make a false material statement?
Exactly.
So that is still the heart of the question that goes to the jury. And if the jury believed it was El Norte, Mexico, or whether they believed it was Nuevo Laredo or whatever, then they could say there was no false statement. So assuming all that is true, then there is no false statement. And I think there is some verbiage from the court to that effect, maybe not as clearly as it could be or even as it needs to be. But again, we have to look at the entire record. And again, I must emphasize that orange slip is important because as this court knows, and even in my short time at the U.S. Attorney's Office, I know this is an unusual case in terms of trying to get into the United States, which Judge Kazin recognizes. It's got its own form of sophistication.
He's a smart guy. He has common sense, as it were, on the border. Let's
he
put
does.
It that way.
I mean, and so he is telling two of the agents who can help him get into Laredo, both Agent Escobedo, who was working soft secondary, and then Agent, I think his name was DeLisa, he told him the north as well. assuming the jury believed all that and whatnot. They were the two agents who could help him get to his home in Laredo. And so that's where the words north are used. Because if he meant northern Mexico, he wasn't going to get through. Because despite the fact that he says that he didn't know he was deported, there's documentary evidence and other stuff that indicates otherwise. So he knew he was in trouble. And presumably he also knew or had been told he couldn't come back into the United States. So he had to conjure up some way to get back to his house in Laredo. And all of these things, when you put them together, the jury was autonomous. And I think Judge Kazin wanted them to retain their autonomy. Again, if you look at some of the cases cited in Mr. Hara's brief, those cases are very, very different, where the courts are much more heavy-handed. And even if, though, you believe that there was a directed verdict, then we get into whether it was material or not, whether it was a material variance and whatnot. And quite frankly, the government would disagree that that occurred, because those cases, again, the precedents are fairly egregious, and this simply isn't one of those cases. So unless the court has any additional questions, I'll yield the remainder of my time.
All right, thank you, Ms. Wilson. Ms. Odom, you save time for rebuttal.
Just starting where counsel left off, there are a number of inferences she presented for the court, for the jury to have to consider that this was a false statement. An inference that, you know, he's trying to use these Border Patrol agents to get back north. He's asking for things. And this is inference upon inference upon inference that they're trying to decide, was this a false statement? And that's one of the reasons why it is a very narrow issue. The court has told them, that Laredo necessarily means north. And it's taken away from the jury the question of, what did he mean by that statement? That's what they had to decide. They had to look at the evidence and decide what he meant by that statement.
Now, Ms. Odom, is this a harmful or harmless error?
Is this harmless error? On the if we're looking at a directed verdict, there is it would be up to the government to prove that it was not harmless because it's a violation of the Constitution. Wonderful. If we're looking at a constructive amendment, it's per se reversible.
Now, you need to answer this one very carefully, and that is, we have videotape evidence that he walked from Nuevo Laredo over there. We also have evidence that he was seeking this orange pass, whatever it was. And that can only be obtained by someone who is either a citizen, legally in the United States. Is that not correct?
That's correct. An orange slip is used so that people can come back and forth. And that they've already been okayed by a Border Patrol agent. I'm not sure if you necessarily have to be from the United States. It tells the Border Patrol agent at primary that he's been okayed to cross. But keep in mind the context. It was sort of presented like he came there to get an orange slip. He came there and asked, I have a problem with my legal permanent resident card. It's expired. She said, where are you coming from? He says, I'm coming from the north. And she said, well, you would have to go to Laredo to get that fixed. And he says, well, I would need an orange slip to do that. And she says, no, you don't need it if you've come from the north. So when he goes to primary, he doesn't say, I want to go to Laredo to get my resident card fixed. He says, I have a question about my legal permanent resident card. And the agent says, where are you coming from? And he says, the north. That's different. That's different than going to seek an orange slip. And the agent at primary writes down on the orange slip, he's taking him in because he's got a question about his legal permanent residency. And he also said he's from the north and there's a lookout on him. So that's different. That's why even on the attempted entry, even though it's a general intent, not a specific intent, you only get to the act of coming and asking a question is not illegal. That is not an attempted entry. It is when you're looking at the statement. It all comes down to the statement. That's what's key. And in United States, I want to point out one other thing. When he is discussing the part where he says, when he's given the jury instruction that Laredo necessarily means North, he tells the jury that, but you should not assume anything I've said or done that I have personal opinion or whether I think the defendant is guilty or not. He says, you're here to make your own independent judgment, except for these instructions. You must follow these instructions. And his instruction was, North necessarily means Laredo. Another point I want to make, in Lambert, the en banc case that, again, was used by the prosecutor in the court, that court said, they found there was a fatal variance. And they said, it all boils down to the statement. And that importantly, the court pointed out that the issue of prejudice is narrower in a false statement case. That was the same type of false statement to an agent. And it's narrower because in a false statement case, the inquiry is threefold. Did the defendant say what the indictment charges him with saying? If he did, does it depart from the truth? And was it material? So you have a narrower field that you're looking at a prejudice because the entire case, whether you're talking about the attempted entry or the false statement, goes to this one statement. It's all built around that. And that's what's problematic in this case. I think I've already addressed it's not an isolated incident. Are there any other questions from the court? All right. Thank you.
Your case is under submission, and the court will take a brief recess.